Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid, 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening, almost 7 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thursday night. Hey, I got an idea. Let's see if we can get all the way through a show tonight. What do you say? Certainly not your fault. And frankly, while I will freely take blame where blame is applicable, wasn't my fault either last night. I spent 2 hours on hold with Verizon trying to figure out why our T1 line cowers, it just runs away like our dogs do in a thunderstorm. I found the two dogs and one router under the bed just cowering in fear from the thunder last night. So there's no real threat of any major electrical storm activity or anything like that, so there's real hope that we're going to get through all 3 hours of this little dust-up we like to call Head On tonight. You heard the toll-free number. Let me remind you of the other one, 304-658-3333. Jump right in if you feel so inclined. And, of course, email to bob@headonradio.com and my lovely wife, agnes@headonradio.com. See how easy it is? Now, you know, we've talked on many an occasion about what a cotton-picking fool Pat Robertson is. But the fact of the matter is, I've realized that Pat Robertson is a little gift from God to me. Because through the day, you see a little story here, you see a little story there, you think, well, you know, I could talk about that, well, we could talk about this. That certainly looks at least a little bit interesting. But you're really left wanting when it comes to something that's got some real oomph to it. And there it is. You know, God has kindly provided us liberals, us Democrats, us progressives, us decent people, with an unabashed, utter booby when it comes to Pat Robertson. Why do I say this? Well, you know, there were a lot of stories out there today. The Republicans had to back off their hateful little give a little bit more away to the rich, take a little bit more, a lot more away from the poor budget exercise. that's there. Bill Frist turned after coming steaming out at the microphone. We are going to investigate who leaked our secret torture prisons to the Washington Post. Jesus! Today it got real quiet. We're not done. The cat killer came out, you know, he who has made millions off of abortions. He who diagnoses brain-dead people by videotape came out today. The Senate's not gonna investigate how the word got to the Washington Post about our secret torture chain of torture prisons, okay? This guy's a real clown. So that's there. A little bit more fallout from the Tuesday night elections. That's there. And it's all interesting. But then, oh God, then there's Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson, who, well, you know, one of the upshots of the election Tuesday was that the people of Dover, Pennsylvania, who got themselves embroiled in a multi-million-dollar lawsuit because they were absolutely hell-bent on teaching so-called intelligent design, you know, intelligent design that says Earth is too complicated to have not been made, as opposed to just coming into existence. Earth is too complicated not to have had a creator, not to have had an intelligent designer, houseflies, not to have had someone, something, some critter somehow that was able to put it all together, mosquitoes. And as a consequence, that needs to be taught alongside evolution, platypus. So you see, and they threw all those school board members out on Tuesday. Giraffe. All those intelligent design school board members sort of went the way of all flesh hyena, in favor of decent, upstanding, progressive Democrats who believe in teaching science in science class and religion in religion class. So, as a consequence, it didn't sit well with Pat Robertson. Well, first, let's review what it is that we're talking about when we're talking about intelligent design.
I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover,
Let's talk about what we're talking about when we're talking about intelligent design. This is just perfect. The textbook of pandas and people is their little guide to proving that God.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
There you
Amen.
Go. Amen. There you go. There's your intelligent design. So that having been said, Pat Robertson was a little less than pleased. Just a little less than pleased, and what's that little hate fest he has every day? The 700 Club, originally named for the fact that I think he had 700 old ladies he had conned into sending him their Social Security checks every month. So he's on the 700 Club today, and he's got his newscaster fellow, you know, deep voice, well-tied necktie. Well, Pat, on Tuesday, the people of Dover, Pennsylvania, elected to... Having trouble there, dear? There he is. Yeah, so, Pat, what do you think about them throwing out those intelligent design school board members in Dover, Pennsylvania? Wait.
I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover, if there is a disaster in your area, don't turn to God. You just rejected him from your city. And
really?
Don't wonder why he hasn't helped you when problems begin, if they begin, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do, just remember you just voted God out of your city. And if that's the case, then don't ask for his help, because he might not be there. Lee?
Did you get that? If something bad, you know, kid skins his knee in Dover, Pennsylvania, God did that to you because you threw him out of your city, you heathen. It's all God's fault now. But he did say something telling there, and we got a break we got to take. But he said something telling, and that is this. Don't look to God to solve your problems. And that may be, you know, thank God for Pat Robertson, because every now and then he does open his mouth and speak a little bit of truth. Yeah, if we will band together, if we will work together and get rid of these godless, soulless Republicans, we can fix our own problems. We can let God smile benignly down. But, you know, as long as we're busy melting children in Iraq with white phosphorus, I think expecting God to take care of our problems over here is a little bit much, don't you? Let's take our break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Underneath the clock, carry an umbrella, no need to talk. The man and the humbug hiding in the fog will be watching. Get yourself a ticket, go through the gate. It's 7:45 precisely, don't be late. If anybody follows, don't hesitate, keep on walking.
take the night train to Munich, rumbling down the track.
Welcome back. 19 and a half minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, it's working. Let's take advantage of it. Let's go straight to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Well, hey, Bob. How you doing?
Oh, I'm better now than I was last night or the night before. Oy vey.
Well, oy vey. Oy vey. True. Just a couple things here. I think today is the anniversary of Marine Corps, and I just like to thank all those people who have served at that branch of the service.
No, a very appropriate notice.
And I know I was just telling a friend of mine about my uncle who served on Guadalcanal and was left there 6 months.
Mm.
And then went on to places like Eniwetok, Kwajalein, and I can remember he never was the same afterwards. And in his memory, I say to this, and when he gets to heaven to St. Peter, he will tell another Marine reporting, I served my time in hell.
Yep, indeed. And it's especially poignant to note this anniversary, considering what we've done to our Marines in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, Jim.
I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. And, you know, we're using white phosphorus over in... we used it in Fallujah. It's been confirmed.
I know that chemical weapons, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not, you know, Pat Robertson talks about Delaware. He might want to take a look at some of the things that have been happening to this country as a result of some of maybe our actions in Southwest Asia.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at.
It could be God going the other way, and, you know, he's too stupid or to realize that, or he's just so... I don't know what word can describe him. Every time I hear that man, I feel like I need to take a shower.
Well, you know that things are beginning to go a little south for poor Pat when even the mainstream media turns on him. He used to be a darling, but now you've got people like Jack Cafferty on CNN even coming. And, you know, that guy prides himself on being sort of a right-wing curmudgeon coming around saying, you know, one of these days somebody's just going to have to drop a net on that guy.
Well, he's right. They certainly are. You know, in this month's Vanity Fair, they have a good article entitled The American Rapture, and they're talking about some guy named Tim LaHaye.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know where he's leading people or what he's trying to do. He's selling a lot of books. And
oh, yeah, that's the Left Behind series.
Right, the Left Behind series. And some of the banner headlines of the newspaper, of this article are, for example, no one in our family reads newspapers, says a former evangelical. Growing up, our only source of information in my life was the pastor. It went on to say that, and here is a direct quote from Falwell, we often call the White House and talk to Karl Rove, Jerry Falwell says, of the Arlington Group. Everyone takes our calls. I'm sure he's right there.
Yeah, and that's another, we've got to get a government in power that doesn't take these freaks'
right.
calls.
In the Left Behind books, the Antichrist is Nikolai Carpathia, the dazzling charming Secretary General of the UN,
right.
and the people's sexiest man alive.
Well, and see, the reason they do this, there's a whole bunch of code that the right wing uses to sort of talk to each other, and one of them is the United Nations. The right wing sees the United Nations as the source of all evil in the world. It was the United Nations that got us embroiled in this mess in Iraq, after all. You know, that's the way they think.
I don't understand that kind of thinking.
Well, first of all, we're both mistaken when we refer to it as thinking.
Well, it's not. And, you know, you've got people like, the people who think like this are straight out of that Heritage Foundation. You know, they want to roll back the New Deal. And people like Tim LaHaye, they want to roll back the Enlightenment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's where that kind of thinking comes
from. And you know, lest anyone get upset with me, we're not talking about practitioners of Christianity here. We're talking about the religion industry.
He also says, we must remove all humanists from public office and replace them with more moral political leaders. And it also says, you know, what is so strange here is that it says 25% of our population are belong to these 200,000 evangelical churches.
Yeah.
So these people are extremely powerful.
Yeah, the Southern Baptists, the so-called independent churches, the mega churches, the charismatic cults of personality that spring up largely through the South and the Midwest. It's not quite such a menace to the nation through the blue states and the normal people. But what, you know, it all dovetails together. The Christian Reconstructionists, the Dominionists, the get us out of the UN crowd. They've all found themselves a home in this weird little knot of absolute psychotic strangeness that blasphemes the name of Yeshua in a rather shameless attempt to take over the government. And that's their ultimate goal. You talk about what LaHaye says about, you know, no secular humanists. That's right down the alley, Jim, with the Christian Reconstructionist and Dominionist movement, because they've got other leaders who have said that no Jew, no Muslim, no atheist, no agnostic should be allowed to sit in government in the United States. They're fascist religion monsters, and they're dangerous as hell, and most people don't even realize it.
Well, they obviously haven't learned their lessons in history, because a number of our founding fathers were not traditional Christians.
Oh, heck no.
Anglicans. I mean, for example, I think Benjamin Franklin was something of a, I know he was a deist, and I know that there have been certain founding fathers who may have been agnostic. I'm not sure. I mean, I can't psychoanalyze dead people or go back.
Well, but I mean, you can judge them by their works. Thomas Jefferson rewrote the Bible by the New Testament by taking out all the magic and mysticism, and made repeated comments on what a danger the fundamentalist religion would be to the fabric of the young nation. Hey, Jim, we've got to roll along and hit this break, but it's awful good to hear from you.
Well, one more thing, Mr.
Yeah,
man.
Quickly.
We've got a lot of veterans out there who need to be honored tomorrow.
Absolutely.
People like Wayne and some of the others. And
yourself.
Thank you, and I salute you all.
Very well. Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Take care. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. We'll talk about that in a minute. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Best nation.
right, welcome back. Right at 25 minutes before the hour. A couple of topics that we've hit on so far. Jim was kind enough to mention tomorrow being Veterans Day, as well as today being, I believe he said, the birthday of the Marine Corps. And there, that brings up a couple of separate topics. But, of course, the other thing I wanted to show, sometimes I get emails, and I hang on to them until, because there's a fit, if you will. There's a nexus sometimes where things sort of dovetail into one another. I got an email from Katie. And since we were talking about Pat Robertson calling down the wrath of God on Dover, Pennsylvania, consider some very stirring words. She writes, "I understand that the religious right are being duped into serving the current regime, but I just can't feel sorry for their ignorance." No. Willful ignorance deserves no sympathy, as far as I'm concerned. "These are the people," she writes, "who have terrorized myself, family, and friends for years. These are the people who allowed the brutal killing of Matthew Shepard and countless other gays and lesbians whose hate-filled murders never made more than a side column in a local paper. These are the people who allowed women to be terrorized when they needed an abortion because of a rape, because of a mistake, because they just couldn't afford another baby and their birth control didn't work. These are the people who allowed James Byrd to be dragged to his death in Texas. These are the people who allowed prostitutes in Vancouver to continue to be killed because their lives are somehow worth less." Or worthless, huh? "These are the people who allowed children to go hungry, who allowed them to be beaten or drowned in the bathtub, who allowed them to be raped by their mother's boyfriend because they don't care what happens to them after they're born. Or before, and I'll add, or before they're dead. These are the people who allowed the leadership of the Catholic Church to stay quiet about the sexual abuse of children. These are the people who allowed lifetime partners of lesbians and gays to be excluded from their hospital bedsides because they're really not family. We held accountable," Katie writes, "those who just followed orders during the Holocaust. I firmly believe these people are no different, and when the day of reckoning comes, their punishment should be as severe." I sometimes think of it as, case in point, Bloomington, Indiana, a story I read a couple of days ago, a protest outside a kitchenwares store. Now, I don't know about you, but wherever I have lived, the kitchen has always been the center of activity. It was the most social place. It was the most happy place. And a nice kitchen is usually the warmest, friendliest space in the home. So out in Bloomington, Indiana, there's a kitchenwares store. Kitchen gadgets, kitchen tools, kitchen appliances, cabinetry, that kind of thing. I forget what the name of the thing was. But one of these religion industry monsters brought 25 people down there to scream, "God laughs when fags die." These people call themselves Christians. And of course, they're followers of false prophets, and they're demon possessed. This person, the store happened to be run by a gay person, and so they stood outside the store screaming, "God laughs when fags die." And so far, oddly, this is the creepy part of that. It wasn't the Fred Phelps outfit. It was an entirely different demon church. It's growing. The hate is growing. The sickness is growing. And so far, the gay community has been really, really good about not fighting fire with fire. And I applaud them for that. But Katie talks about holding them accountable. For boys or girls, men or women, if you played any, and if, you know, you're my age, I was playing baseball right at the cusp when aluminum bats came in. Before that, they were wooden. And if you think back to those great old wooden bats, the Hillerich and Bradsby Louisville Sluggers, they always had some teeny tiny itsy bitsy print, you know, trademark, patent, registration, blah, 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 number, little itty bitty numbers burned into the wood. And I've about come to the conclusion, and with it being Veterans Day, Day tomorrow, it's also worth discussing in that light. Do you think if Fred Phelps or this latest gang of religion industry punks, thugs, and demons showed up as they have been wont to do at the funerals of Americans killed in Iraq? To say that God killed them because we have a fag-tolerant society. Do you think there is a jury anywhere in America that would convict a member of any of those families if they took one of those good old-fashioned Hillerich and Bradsby Louisville sluggers and let some of those hateful people read that fine print on the trademark real close, at high velocity? These people stand outside the funerals of American soldiers, Marines, SEALs, Rangers. What do you call them in the Air Force, the Special Forces in the Air Force? I don't know. Anyway, and they tell the grieving mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, wives, children of that dead soldier that he or she died because God hates fags. Baseball bat. That scene from The Untouchables. Robert De Niro. I like baseball. You like baseball? You know what I'm talking about. And would a jury ever even think about convicting a person who did something like that under those circumstances? Some Vietnam vets have taken to following the Fred Phelps crowd around, and I admire this. This is just so, so cool and so decent and so good-spirited. They surround the Vietnam vets on Harley Davidsons surround the Fred Phelps people and just sit there and gun their Harleys so loud that the people can't be heard. That's a good response. But this nation is inundated with sickness. And contrary to what they say, the sickness is flowing out of Robertson. My God, that man just wished catastrophe on a town in Pennsylvania because an election didn't go the way he wanted it to. Hey, Pat, you like baseball? I like baseball. There's the... Oh, that Bob Kincaid, he's a hater. That's where the sickness is flowing from. Yes, dear?
I was just wondering, did they have a prophet around during Sodom and Gomorrah like Pat?
No, not really. I mean, there was Lot there, and he just kept bargaining with God, trying to find a few decent people, and finally God said, nah, screw it, get out.
And, yeah, his wife got turned to salt.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, Sodom, the great sin that got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed had nothing to do with homosexuality.
No, but...
It had to do with the violation of the most primal... rule of civilization in that part of the world, and that is you do not allow harm to come to someone under your roof, and you extend charity to the poor. It's not there in Genesis, but a few books later in the Old Testament, there's a straight-up saying or a straight-up commentary that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of the way they responded to the poor.
Okay, so the people that are preaching the Bible now are basically breaking the covenant.
Every day!
Just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, well, okay, thanks, dear. Yeah, there's all of that. And a little bit more, because, you know, we'll take a break, but when we come back, it's always worth remembering that it's never a bad day for the Bush administration to spit on a veteran, because they do it all the time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks, too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
George A. was at the movies in December 41. They announced it in the lobby, what had just gone on. He drove up from Birmingham back to the family's farm. Thought he'd get him a deferment. There was much work to be done. He was a family man, even in those days. But Uncle Sam decided he was needed anyway. In the South Pacific, over half a world away, he believed in God and country. Things was just that way.
Welcome back. About 11 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder, the phone number, it's locally 304-658-3333 or 877-443-2366 if you need us to pay the freight. Email to Bob at headonradio.com, or my lovely wife, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. Now, I said, you know, there's never, a Republican really never misses an opportunity to spit on a veteran. We've seen it with the Bush budget for aftercare for returning wounded and injured and maimed veterans. We've seen it in their response to our soldiers actively serving. Absence of armor on vehicles, absence of body armor for their for themselves. Paying Halliburton $29 a day to serve them rotten meat and rotten vegetables in literally blood-soaked kitchens. In one particular instance, Halliburton told Halliburton build the Congress, you know, build the country, you and me, for something on the order of $149,000 persons served when the number was actually 112. We have had from time to time veterans, soldiers serving in the desert who have been forced to eat camel meat. I don't know, is camel tasty? I somehow can't imagine it. Because the rations were insufficient to their needs. And now this. Since around the early 1950s, it has been accepted procedure and protocol, it has been accepted tradition that the elected leaders of organizations like the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, it's been accepted tradition for those elected leaders to address a joint session of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees. For lo, these many years, you know, a half a century this has been going on. Well, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee is a guy by the name of Steve Beyer. He's an Indiana Republican. And he's come to a conclusion that, you know, that's just no good. We can't be having that. He announced not too long back, a couple of days ago, that the veteran service organizations are no longer going to have the opportunity to present sworn testimony before a joint hearing of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. You get that? Tomorrow's Veterans Day. Today's the birthday of the Marines. And Steve Beyer, good, godly, upstanding Republican from Indiana, has decided that he no longer cares to hear from the leadership of the disabled American veterans. Now, the national commander of the DAV is a man by the name of Paul W. Jackson. And he says, the right to fully participate in the democratic process is a cornerstone of our nation. Eliminating these joint hearings is an insult to the men and women who have fought, sacrificed, and died to protect their constitutional rights, including the right to petition the government. What a spit in the face from Steve Beyer, Republican of Indiana. Steve Beyer, who, well, can you blame him? Have you seen the plans for the budget? Now, we have to make the tax cuts for Steve Beyer's and George Bush's cronies permanent. We have to have more giveaways for the mega rich. But Steve Beyer doesn't have time to listen to, you know, those old farts. Those 80-year-old people who served at Iwo Jima and Kwajalein and Peleliu and Guam and Okinawa at the Bulge, at Normandy, at Anzio. Steve Beyer doesn't have time for that. because he doesn't want to hear the hell he would catch from limbless people at the prospect of a Republican congressional and presidential budget that tells those people that they were useful once, but now that they're old and they're a drain on the system, they're not useful anymore. Is this? Are you as look? I'm not going to kid you. I've been disgusted with some of the positions that the American Legion has taken in terms of kissing Bush's rear end. But you know what? They are made up of veterans who did serve this country and wore the uniform honorably. And I believe they at least deserve a hearing before Congress. The disabled American veterans deserve a hearing. The veterans of foreign wars deserve a hearing. As many members of Congress there as there are who never wore the uniform should particularly be required to sit and listen to these brave men and women. Don't you think? Well, you know how it goes. It's not part of the conservative agenda, so Steve Beyer, Republican of Indiana, he doesn't have time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Pressure and I'm bent. I've got no time to move ahead. If you heard one thing that I've said, and all these little things in life, they all create this haze. The two minutes to get done.
they all create this haze. There's too many things to get done, and I'm
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour, hour number two, just like Brian Reznor said. Okay, we've got Pat Robertson. We've got outrages against veterans groups. Let's call a quick timeout for the computer techie types. It might be good to have some input on this. I saw this story a couple of weeks ago that came to light about Sony BMG Music's including spyware on their new releases. It's called a rootkit, and frankly, I may be able to use the words, but I barely even know exactly what we're talking about, except for the fact that this apparently sucks. For those of you who have, you know, just glided happily on into the 21st century and you're using a PC, this doesn't apply to the Mac people, because, well, one of the reasons you pay a whole lot more for a Mac is the fact that they're a whole lot more reliable and, frankly, safer. But Sony BMG Music says that by 2006, all of its discs will be treated this way, all of its CDs. If you happen to, like I said, if you've got a PC and you've gone hurtling into the 21st century and you like to listen to your CD on your computer, or you've invested in a really tasty set of speakers, and you like to pop the disc in and listen to them there while you're typing away, working on whatever it is you're working on. Maybe you're at work and you got a disc going just to keep you from going all postal. And what Stephen Root say in Office Space? Yeah, I could burn this place to the ground. So Sony has hidden this rootkit inside its discs, and it will not show up on your PC. And it is a copy protection mechanism. Sony believes that... Well, okay, back up. I came of age during the 8-track generation. And those suckers wore out. So I always made a point of, I would get an album, keep it nice. I was a real audiophile at one point. Keep the album all dust free and clean, and record it to an 8-track tape before cassettes became the industry standard. But record it onto an 8-track tape in order to preserve the vinyl, and then listen to the 8-track tape that I'd recorded. And I did the same thing with cassettes, to preserve the vinyl. And then when computers became de rigueur in the American household, I remember buying... Yeah, remember when programs came on those great big 5 1/4 inch floppies? And you'd get the box and it'd have like 92 floppy disks in it, and you'd put it in your Commodore 64. Whang, clank, chunk, chunk, and, you know, 18 hours later, by golly, you had Zork loaded on your computer. Remember that? Sure. And what did you do? Well, like a lot of us, the first thing you did is you made a backup copy of the program that you had just paid a horse-gagging load of money for. And I haven't noticed that they're giving CDs away yet either, and a lot of people like to make a backup copy of their CD, just as young Bob used to do with his vinyl back in the bad old days of the 8-track tape. Ka-chunk. There are songs out there that still, if I hear them on the radio, my brain is hardwired to hear that channel change on the 8-track tape. Come down from your fence, ka-chunk, chunk, you've been out right. You get the idea. Sony doesn't like that. That's what this rootkit does. If you install, if you play, you don't have to do any damn thing. If you just play a Sony BMG disc on your computer, Sony will infect your computer with its spyware, and then you will not be permitted to make a copy of that disc. They say that it's to protect their intellectual property rights. And it's a load of hooey. And most people don't have the technical expertise, God knows I don't, to take this spyware off. Now, Sony put a patch on its website, I guess last week, that at least makes the rootkit show up. But you still have to be Bill freaking Gates to get the damn thing out of there. And all the spyware and computer security companies are making no bones about the fact that this is no different than some piece of garbage spyware that you get when, you know, that like a Republican would get when he goes to spankmealot.com. And now it's gotten worse. Sony started this monstrous little process. You know, what the hell right, just because I want to hear some artist that is published on CD by Sony, what the hell right does Sony have infecting my personal property with their malicious code? None. Yes, dear.
Well, if you buy the CD, isn't it yours? Isn't that your property?
Well, I think, to be quite honest, dear, Sony is taking an approach that you've, to look at it legally, I guess, that you've gotten some sort of easement in the property. No, you own the disc, but you do not own the music.
So does that mean we have to get a deed for the disc?
Well, no, that's what this rootkit does. This rootkit is the license to use only one disc. If you want another copy of the disc, if you want a backup copy, you need to go and pay retail again.
Well, now, was this leaked?
No, it's not. Well, was
I mean,
it
I'm sure they didn't want anyone to
oh,
know.
Oh, God,
they
no,
this.
They didn't want anybody to know this.
So.
And mostly, people don't know this.
Well, in effect, if you didn't know it, and you have this and it infects your computer, which is supposedly another piece of your property, aren't they doing damage to it?
Yeah, they are. People are out there complaining that these things slow down PCs. We all know that spyware slows down PCs, and this is spyware.
Oh, you know, everybody's looking for a lawsuit.
Well, I guess if Sony was, they've got it because the lawsuit was filed in Los Angeles last week.
Good for them.
Yeah. Good for them. But now it gets worse. Because today, see, I'm hustling toward the weekend. Today, a computer security firm in Amsterdam discovered the first virus that uses Sony BMG's controversial CD copy protection software to worm into PCs and just make a damn mess. And of course, you knew this was coming, because this is the perfect thing to piggyback a virus on, because even virus protection software won't find the Sony rootkit. So pay attention. Under a subject line containing the words "photo approval," a hacker, virus purveyor, whatever you want to call them, I know they've got. Hackers have their own little the code of honor that, you know, I'm not a hacker, I'm a cracker, I'm a knicker, I'm a snicker, I don't know. But anyway, according to the text of the article, which came from Reuters, under a subject line containing the words photo approval, a hacker's mass mailed the so-called Stinks, S-T-I-N-X, the Stinks E Trojan virus, to British email addresses, British antivirus firm Sophos says. And what happens is when recipients click on an attachment, they install the malware, which may tear down your computer's firewall and give hackers instant access to the PC. And then the malware hides by tucking itself into the Sony BMG software. Sophos's Graham Cluley. You know, if you're going to work in computer security, having a name like Graham Cluley is just a bonus. He says, this leaves Sony in a real tangle. It was already getting bad press about its copy protection software, and this new hack exploit will make it even worse. Typically, Sony BMG spokesman John McKay in New York was not immediately available to comment. He was in a restroom somewhere clawing his eyeballs out. I don't want to go out there. Oh,
We've hacked our way into a million computers, and I don't want to go out there.
So, please bear all this in mind, and for God's sakes, you know, this is the cyber world. It's not that far from the UK to England anymore. It's a click of a mouse away. So, if you see an unwanted email pop into your box that says photo approval, get it the hell out of there as quickly as possible. Because even if the Sony rootkit's not already on your machine, this sucker will install it, and you won't be able to find it. And then your lovely PC is going to turn into a $1,000 paperweight. Tell your teenagers, says my lovely wife. Not that they're going to listen, because they're teenagers. And of course, the last line in all of this, and almost any virus story, the Sony copy protection software does not install itself on Macintosh computers.
I want a Mac.
Oh, I want a room full of Macs, but, you know, we can't afford them. That's our little consumer protection segment for tonight, okay? Let's take a break. This is Head On.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
This is what it sounds like inside your computer when that rootkit gets installed. Oh, God, I love Pat Metheny. I love the Pat Metheny group. But every time, every now and then he goes off on one of these little, I'm gonna throw the silverware on the pavement and turn it into music kicks. And you get forward march and, you know, I'm sorry. I guess I'm a Luddite or a Philistine or something. I don't get it. I just don't get it. A couple of emails in the interim. Peter writes in, our pal in Tallahassee. He says, rootkit software installs itself in such a way that it cannot be removed without special software. Oh, so even if you find it, you still got to go spend another $79.95, $329.95, God knows what. It embeds itself into the computer at such a core level as to be undetectable to the user. There's no warning on the Sony packaging or CD that this is happening. It is way not cool to install software on a computer without the owner's permission or knowledge. This comes under the definition of surreptitious spyware installation and is illegal. It is rocket science to remove it. Here, let's try another word, Peter. Could it be, and I don't know because I don't have all 342,000 pages of it in front of me, could it be that somewhere along the way this is a violation of the Patriot Act? Could this be cyber terrorism? There's a dozen different ways to look at this. You know, Sony BMG Music. God, Sony. Do they do anything besides make CDs? Are they about 8 miles behind the curve behind the iPod? And of course, you know, you can install iTunes on a PC. So could this be a malicious means of trying to set themselves up to at least attempt to compete with the iPod? I saw a statistic the other day that said that, talking about the number of iPods that have been sold, and then mentioning the fact that out of that number, because, oh, let's see, how does it work? You bought an iPod, but you don't have a Mac. Well, out of like umpty bajillion million people who fall into that category, a million of them then went out and bought a Mac. And I'm sure Sony feels threatened by this, but they don't understand. This is where I grew up. Back at the rise of the automobile age. My hometown was sort of the Detroit of the covered wagon and buggy whip industry. And I've heard it said that when automobiles started hitting the streets, that the buggy whip manufacturer just about had a flying conniption. I mean, we're talking about a hissy of monumental proportions. It had kittens with crocheted tails, as one of my pals would say. Sony at this point is acting like a buggy whip manufacturer. You know, if you go through the entire history of recorded music or recorded anything, electronic recording, it starts off with Thomas Alva Edison's phonograph, and it's a wax cylinder, and it's really fragile. And cylinders are hard to store. And that gets, to a certain degree, miniaturized into the old 78 RPM records, Victrola stuff. Well, from 78 you go to 33 and 45, and eventually tape comes along, and it's reel-to-reel tape, and then there was the wire recorders. And it's a constant ongoing process of miniaturization. We were all amazed with the compact disc when it came out, and now you could store the entire Library of Congress on 25 compact discs. Jesus, we got things no bigger than a credit card now that can store the 25 compact discs, and Sony is out there trying to put viruses in our computers. Now, one question before we hit the break, and we're pretty close up against it. Do you believe you have the right, if Sony attacks your computer through stuff that they didn't even bother to warn you about, do you have the right to sue Sony? Now, guess who doesn't think you've got that right? This is Head On.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
26 minutes before the hour, we're halfway through this Thursday night edition. This Thursday night, no rain, no thunder, no lightning, no cracking, no popping, no dying T1s, no gagging telephone systems edition of Head On. And boy, am I proud. You know, it's so nice when we're the only ones who are screwing things up and nobody's helping along the way. We had another email asking about the soundbite that was played earlier when we were talking about Pat Robertson and the Dover, Pennsylvania School Board. Run that thing again, would you, honey?
This is for you, Peter.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
God, I love that. that's from the film, a surprisingly enjoyable film, really. Said to be clueless for this the first decade, the clueless for this first decade of the 21st century. Mean Girls. And it comes in a discussion of people who were homeschooled. And one of them is, and the Lindsay Lohan character narrates, and she says, or some people think that homeschooled people are religious freaks, and then that line comes along. So that's where it's from.
You have to see it to understand the full extent.
Yeah, there's a visual in there, too. Yeah.
So once you watch it, give us an email and let us know how you liked it.
That's one of the ongoing projects here. We have recently figured out, with the help of a listener, how to actually capture DVD audio and use it for sound bites and things like that. I can't wait till I find all my DVDs of the Warner Brothers cartoons. It's going to get really zany around here. We're not halfway to where we're going to be with this thing. And no, that's not me and my me and that mouse in my pocket, Wee. That's me and my lovely wife, Wee.
And we'll take any suggestions you have. That's what it's about. It's all about you. So let us know.
So let. Okay, fun time's over. Oh, well, no. Well, let's continue where I left off at the bottom of the hour break. Sony BMG is being sued in Los Angeles for these un... Well, what do you call it? Unwarned... unwarned attacks on your computer piracy, and now they've created the perfect cover under which hackers and virus purveyors can sneak their stuff into your computer. And it all falls under the rubric of, I'm sure, once John McKay is dug out of whatever rock he lives under as PR flack for Sony BMG Music, I'm absolutely certain that we will hear that poor Sony is being abused by being sued by the consumers that they've hacked, whose computers have been hacked unwittingly with this programming. Now, and see, Sony makes it really interesting because only 20 or so titles of the boodles that are out there now have this software on it, but they say that all of their 2006 releases will. Who all's on the Sony BMG label?
Oh, wow. Mariah Carey.
I don't know. If there's a list of the titles that have this malicious code embedded in it, I'd really appreciate it if one of you guys would get it to me via email or via telephone. We need to let people know what it is, and frankly, make a bigger stink out of this than has been made thus far. But remember, like I said, Sony will be out there crying that they're being, you know, our poor little corporation's being abused by those nasty plaintiffs. When in fact, well, I mean, you already know the front end of the story. But who will be there with them? Who will be there to file friend of the court briefs? Well, how about the American Enterprise Institute? How about the Heritage Foundation? How about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? A ruling in the plaintiff's favor in the Sony BMG case will be a devastating blow to the ability of American businesses to do business in America. Wait a minute, Sony's Japanese. But still, we're the biggest market they've got. Do you suppose that they're able to put this malicious code on their discs that they sell in other countries that have a greater belief in regulating this kind of activity? Are they getting away with it in Europe? I mean, I don't say that rhetorically. I say that as a legitimate question, because the firm that created this hateful malware is an English firm, Internet for First or Internet First for something like that. But do remember, if one of your neighbors, something's happened to my computer. I was listening to my new disc of Dropkick Me Jesus through the goalposts of life, and now all of a sudden it's all slow on my computer. Do please let him know what happened and then explain to him that he might like to sue, but, the entire Republican contingent of Congress and a few mugwump Democrats took most of the starch out of being able to join in a class action this year. You know, there are courts, aren't they? It's not Sony's damn court. It's not corporate America's court. It's our court, isn't it? The right of the people to petition the court for redress of grievances. It doesn't say the right of corporations, the right of the people.
It's actually the King's Court. Haven't you seen the billboards that says stop frivolous lawsuits?
Oh, stop lawsuit abuse.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if the listeners understand that most cases...
Oh, these are smart listeners. We're not talking to a bunch of freepers and ditto heads, honey. These are the sharp people.
I'm talking about the guys that are lurking.
Oh, okay.
And I know they're there. Most lawsuits don't even make it past...
Past what?
Filing.
Sure they do.
No.
Sure they do. And most lawsuits are settled. One way or the other.
But how would they like it if it's their computer and they paid, what, maybe $1,500, $2,000 for it?
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Kincaid. That's just the action of the free market. That's the free market at work, and the free market is the very definition. The free market is the groundwork of American freedom.
No, I tell you what, when you work every single day and you count your hourly wage and someone has intentionally destroyed your property, it's not like that. When you spend that much money...
Well, no. If we were talking about guns, then we'd have the Republicans on our side in this one. Or you can't look at that. They're trying to put automatic gun locks on our guns so that nobody but the owner can fire it. That's communism.
Right. And Heston parted the sea, right? Okay. Nobody's going to take your guns.
He can't. What are you talking about? He can't even part his own hair now.
Well. You know, he did come here a while back and did
yeah,
the
let's
Moses
not
thing.
Let's not relive that, dear. That was just disgusting. You can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. You better watch yourself, mister, or some hot shot Jap pilot's going to flame your ass.
He never got past me.
Oh. But, you know, you wouldn't want to sue Sony, would you? You wouldn't want to put somebody like Sony out of business. How many lawsuits would it take by how many hacked computer owners to even put a dent in Sony's bottom line? But they feel free to go ahead and attack your property. Wouldn't it be nice if middle-class property rights were held in as high esteem as the property rights of our betters? Yes, it would. All right, break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4.5.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Is this thing on? Welcome back. I'm Bob. Speaking of viruses, and a further bit of warning on this root kit from Sony. It also just happens to kill Windows. A quote, users that stumble across the cloaked files with an RKR scan will cripple their computer if they attempt the obvious step of deleting the cloaked files. That from an article from the Register. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. And speaking of viruses, it may not matter. A story from MSNBC, Dateline Atlanta. Federal scientists say they will consider requests to ship the recently recreated, dig that, recreated 1918 killer flu virus to select U.S. research labs. There are 300 non-government research labs registered to work with deadly germs like the Spanish flu, which killed millions of people worldwide. And the CDC has said it will consider requests for samples from those labs on a case-by-case basis. How do you transport that? I mean, I'm assuming you don't just put it in one of those little bubble plastic lined mailers and send it off to Fred's Big Labo Germs. My God, I'd want a 40 car bulletproof caravan. We have the deadly germs. We're bringing the. Yeah, last month, and you may have heard this somewhere else, but yeah, last month, U.S. scientists announced they had created from scratch the 1918 virus. They didn't have just a little bit of 1918 virus laying around. They were bored. They were just bored as all hell. You know, they've cured AIDS. Ebola's not a threat anymore. Hey, Phil, what do you want to do today? Hey, let's recreate the 1918 flu pandemic virus.
How do they know it was 1918?
Do you see what? You got wingnuts out there worrying about whether or not somebody's going to use a frozen embryo to try to cure Parkinson's disease. And if you saw Muhammad Ali the other day receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom, you'd kind of like to see a cure for Parkinson's disease. But that's a problem.
That's an ethical dilemma. And in point of fact, if a bunch of scientists was to cure that, you know, Pat Robertson would get on the... Well, you know, if your town has a disaster, don't call on God for help.
About 10 vials of 1918 flu virus were created, each of them, with about 10 million infectious virus particles. This ain't killed virus, sunshine. This is the real deal. My grandmother's first fiancé was wiped out by this. And they said at the time the particles would be stored at the CDC facility in Atlanta. There were no plans to send the samples off campus. But now they've said, well, you know, that statement didn't mean there was a policy against sending the samples off campus. I mean, you know, what if they wanted to take the virus for a little walk in when the peach blossoms are on in the spring? Jesus, God, do you believe this? The agency's decision to consider shipping the virus outside Atlanta was first reported in the latest journal, Nature. Obviously, that contradicts what most people were led to believe when the results of the 1918 experiments were published. I'm a science guy. I love science. Science has a hell of a lot more answers, potentially, for the human race than religion ever will on a grand scale. Individually, you know, maybe it's the other way around for some folks. But science has the possibility of ending plagues, curing disease. And instead we got guys who were monkeying with the 1918 flu virus. And you know, come on, this is America. That flu virus was not created for research purposes. The minute those 10 million little virus critters came into being, you know who was there. Come on. Wake up and smell the coffee. There was some high-ranking Pentagon general standing right there going, oh, this could be a hell of a lot of fun.
baby, if you, man, you fill one of the, you fill up one of them canisters like what we're putting the napalm in right now, and you just drop that on a bunch of them damned Arabs and watch them all just start sneezing and getting sicker than hell. That could be a hoot. Because, you know, dropping flu viruses on Arabs is not a, just a real big damn step away from dropping white phosphorus on them and melting them. White phosphorus literally melts the skin off of your bones. Does the same thing to the muscles, too. You know, nah, I'm not going to ruin your dinner, never mind. But yeah, you know what happens when the fat around a steak begins to sizzle away and melt on the grill? That's what the white phosphorus that we are dropping or have dropped on the Iraqis has done to them. And it's done it to babies, and it's done it to grown-ups, and it's done it to pregnant women. So if you don't think that that George Bush's federal government wouldn't take real glee in weaponizing the 1918 flu, I don't know what world you think you're living in. And now we find out, I wonder if one of those labs is run by Halliburton or Kellogg Burn and Loot, or maybe what's the Tamiflu? That's the flu palliative drug that's out there right now, in which Rumsfeld has a huge stockholder interest. You suppose that independent lab might be on the CD's list of people who should who will be eligible to play with as big a plague as we've seen in 100 years? I wouldn't be surprised, would you? Mm-mm. So it's the top of the hour, time to take a little break. This is Head On.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
The
this is the best time of the day. The dawn, the final cleansing breath, unsullied yet by acrid fumor, desk cacophony, the rank refuse of unchained ambition. And pray, deny me not, but know me now. Your faithful retainer stands resolute to serve his liege lord without recompense, perchance to fall and perish namelessly. No flag-draped bier or muffled drum to set the cadence for a final dress parade. But it was not always thus. Remember, once you worshipped me and named me a god in many tongues and made offering lest I exact too terrible a tribute.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All right, let's make this last one a dandy. What do you say? And, of course, beyond the toll-free number, there's another one available for you as well, 304-658-3333. And Bob at HeadOnRadio.com, Agnes at HeadOnRadio.com. Learn them, know them, use them. Now, we've had real viruses, computer viruses, we've had Republicans spitting on veterans, and we got it all started with Pat Robertson. But there's one more little sound clip I want you to hear. And let me give you the background on it, because this is one of those do you trust your lying ears moments. You know, every day, Scott McClellan, habitué of Austin, Texas, gay bars, and a damn fine friend of Jeff Gannon, Talon News Service, has his little press gaggle where he comes out and lies like a rug to the complacent and willing Washington press corps. But, you know, the Washington press corps does sober up once in a while, and as a function of that, they sometimes get a little bit irritated with Scotty's ongoing series of lies. Now we got to do some time travel for this, because this has been developing. Way back on Halloween, October 31st, way back on Halloween, Scott had a press gaggle, and because the Republican Party and the Bush administration think that they can just, you know, lie whenever they need to or lie whenever they feel like it, well, something was said, and now the White House press office has completely changed what Scott McClellan said and what you're going to hear with your own lying ears. Now, the question was put forward by NBC's David Gregory. Editor and publisher had this story. The question. Now, this is what you're going to hear. I hate to do extended reading at you, but you, in this case, I believe it's warranted. Question. Whether there's a question of legality, we know for a fact that there was involvement. We know that Karl Rove, based on what he and his lawyer have said, did have a conversation about somebody who Patrick Fitzgerald said was a covert officer of the Central Intelligence Agency. We know that Scooter Libby also had conversations. Now, Scott McClellan's answer to that statement is, that's accurate. All right? Don't take my word for it. Listen.
Whether there's a question of legality, we know for a fact that there was involvement. We know that Karl Rove, based on what he and his lawyer have said, did have a conversation about somebody who Patrick Fitzgerald said was a covert officer of the Central Intelligence Agency. We know that Scooter Libby also had conversations.
That's accurate.
So aside from the question of legality here, you were wrong.
Now, did you hear Scotty say, that's accurate? And I've listened to it louder and loudest. Because in all honesty, maybe he said, that's inaccurate. What did you hear? Just start in the middle somewhere, so we don't have to, because it's the that's accurate that matters.
Gerald said was a covert officer of the Central Intelligence Agency. We know that Scooter Libby also had conversations.
That's accurate.
So aside from the question
that's
of
accurate.
Legality here, you were wrong.
That's accurate. You got that? That's accurate. You heard him say that's accurate. I heard him say that's accurate. Every single soul inside the press room there heard Scott McClellan say that's accurate. The White House, however, transcribed it and says that McClellan's answer is,
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's accurate. Seven syllables. Yeah, seven syllables. That's accurate is that's accurate. Four syllables. Three extra syllables. Now, you saw where it was there. Let's check. I mean, I want to make sure we're getting this right. That's accurate.
So aside from the question legality here, you were... We know that Scooter Libby also had conversations.
That's accurate.
So aside from the question of now, legality here...
Did you hear, I don't think? Did you hear in front of accurate? And this does mean something, because the question that's put forward is, we know that Scooter Libby also had conversations, and what this boils down to is Scott McClellan is agreeing to the fact that he was a lying sack of dung back months ago when he said, I've talked to them both, and they have assured me, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby have assured me, that they had absolutely nothing to do with this. But David Gregory pins him on it, and he says, for maybe the only truthful moment he's ever had in front of that White House press corps, that's accurate. He confirmed that these people did these things. And the White House goes into just rabid spin mode, sweat condition alpha, little bullets of sweat popping out all over little pointy foreheads all through the White House. And it gets transcribed as, I don't think that's accurate. I don't know how you were raised, but when you were a kid and you just, no, Mom, I didn't break the lamp, Spider-Man did. Really? Spider-Man? Yeah, Spider-Man. He left right before you got in here. What happened to you when you just got caught in a straight-up, unmitigated, no two ways about it, great big stinking honking lie? What happened to you? I know what happened to me. You got called on it. Do we care enough about our government anymore that it even matters when they just make crap up? Because that's what this is. I don't think that's accurate. Just making up three whole words where they weren't there. It's not like he turned to, I don't think that's accurate. No, you heard it. It's not in there. They are liars. They do things in their everyday life that would get you put under a jail if you tried it. They do things every day that would get you fired from your job if you tried it. Now, I know some of the liberal outlets have talked about this from time to time. Have you heard a whole lot of this on the mainstream? Neither have I. Do you wish they would? Yeah. My God, $70 million because the guy said, I did not have sex with that woman. And this, I mean, this is, pardon me, Orwellian. Do not believe your own lying ears. Take your pill and go and watch some reality television. And pay no mind to the man behind the curtain. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and that's accurate.
time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatment, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
So there you have it. Republicans will just make stuff up, deliberately lie, and then tell you that it's your own ears lying to you. And in that same vein, it's the same thing they said yesterday. It's like the same thing they said yesterday morning. Well, you know, we got our butts handed to us in New Jersey and Virginia in those governor's races, but Scott McClellan came out and said, well, it just shows that the Democrats don't have any damned ideas. Woo-wee! But we take our victories where we find them. We found one in Virginia. We found one in New Jersey. There was a Democratic victory in Minnesota. Huge Democratic victories in California. California voters just treated Arnold like a girly man. And, you know, whenever we run across one, by Jove, I believe in putting it in the W column, and we had another one of those today.
From the Associated Press, House Republican leaders scuttled a vote today on a $51 billion budget cut package in the face of a revolt by lawmakers over scaling back Medicaid, food stamp, and student loan programs. These guys would rather spend money on white phosphorus to melt Iraqi children than they would on student loans to educate American ones. Kind of makes your eyes roll back in your head, doesn't it? Major setback for the GOP on Capitol Hill and for Bush, who has made cuts to benefit programs a central pillar in his budget plan. Because we don't need benefit programs in America, do we? After all, he was able to go to college and he didn't need student loans. Why the hell would anybody else need them, huh? And so the vote has been delayed. On the one hand, in the White House press room, when you get caught saying something, you just turn, I didn't say that. I said, that's not accurate. And you play the, and you play the recording time after time after time after time, and there is no way to turn that into, that's not accurate. It says, that's accurate. And the same thing happened in the Congress today. It was apparent that if a vote had been taken on this budget slashing bill, that the Republican leadership would have lost, and they wouldn't have just lost, they would have lost badly. It would have been a gut stomping that they might well not have recovered from. So just as you can write down that what the tape says is, I don't think that's accurate when it says that's accurate. Well, if you're the Republican leadership in Congress, what you do is, even after you have scheduled the vote for a date certain, at a time certain, and everybody's there and ready to vote, once you find out that it's going to be a crippling blow to your hateful little spit on the poor, spit on the middle class agenda, well, you put the vote off. Till next week. You put the vote off till next week because you're a Republican and rules weren't made for you. They're for everyone else. So you put the vote off until next week. You put the vote off until next week in the hopes that maybe some blonde-haired, blue-eyed white chick will come up missing on some island somewhere. Or maybe there can be another bombing somewhere. Or maybe another terror alert. Or maybe Pat Robertson will find some, or James Dobson will find some other gay cartoon character to absorb the American attention span, which is roughly that of a squirrel. And you'll hold the vote next week when nobody's looking. You'll hold the vote next week when you've been able to get those maverick congressmen into a dark room and say, listen, Buster, don't you want the new swimming pool there in your district that we told you could have? Get in line, buddy. Guess you really don't want us to put out that contract for all those new aeroplanes at the aeroplane factory in your district, do you? Get in line. I mean, that's, for God's sakes, I mean, that's it. That's not some sort of wild-eyed, radical vision of how it works. That's how the Medicare bill came into being. They pulled aside that congressman from Michigan whose son was running for his seat because he was retiring, and they said, listen, you either get in line with this Medicare bill, prescription drug bill, or your boy's gonna get beat. And hours and hours after the vote was to have closed, they still didn't have the votes, and they violated the rules there by holding them open so that they could arm twist and blackmail and threaten and thug their way into getting their way on a bill that they lied to us about the cost of. Ooh, take that little piece of grammar out and have it beaten to death because it's already been tortured.
You see how they operate. And next week, why? They needed another week. They needed another week to show somebody the log of where they've been using their congressional office computer to spank me. I've been bad.com. That's the way they operate. And they say in this article, this is Roy Blunt, who is about as dirty and filthy and awash in stolen Indian tribe money from Jack Abramoff through Tom DeLay as any human being on earth. Roy Blunt says, I think we'll have the votes next week. I think we will. And tapped his nasty little paunch. I have to represent my district, said Representative Tim Johnson, Republican of Illinois. He represents farmers who are opposed to cuts in commodity payments, as well as the University of Illinois campus, which is upset about cuts to student loans. At this point, I am very, very skeptical. Well, you won't be skeptical much longer, Mr. Johnson, because they're going to take you in a back room and show you those pictures, sunshine, of you with that dead girl or that live boy, and that will be the end of your objections. And this is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know... One small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Living in the wasteland of the free. We got preachers dealing in politics and dynamite. And their speech is growing increasingly unkind. And they say they are Christ's disciples. They don't look like Jesus to me. And it feels like I am living in the wasteland. Got politicians running races on corporate cash. Now don't tell me they don't turn around and kiss them people's ass. You may call me old-fashioned, that don't fit my picture of a true democracy. It feels like I am living in this wasteland. We got CEOs making 200.
broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, 28 minutes left, or 27 and a half minutes left, plus or minus, in tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On, that we're actually looking like, knock wood, we're actually going to get all the way through, and I feel so good about it. I'm Bob. Agnes is at the board answering your calls and making all the music and fun stuff work. David is with us. Hey, David, you're Head On. Yo, David. Well, you know, it works better when you unmute the pot.
My end or your end?
No, that was our end.
Do you know that unmuting pots is illegal in two southern states?
Techno glitch.
And for God's sake, don't say again that you might get something done at a certain time period. Somebody might be listening.
That's true.
Don't leave the faith alone. They're sleeping.
No tweaking.
No tweaking. Well, I called in so I could bash Bill Clinton.
Oh, well, go right ahead. I mean, if you're not bashing, I mean, we haven't had any Clinton bashing tonight. Please bash away.
I think all of us, I'm sure Republicans don't have this long a memory, but you and I remember when Bill, one of two or three low points within his extremely successful presidential tenure,
mm-hmm.
in one of his low points, there was that, well, what the meaning of is. You remember when he was quibbling about is?
Oh, yeah, right.
And good Lord, that fat drug addict and all the rest of them went on for months. There were more is jokes. There were more is jibes. There were more is japes than you could shake a stick at.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a verbal statement, quibbling about the word is. Now then, I want every one of those people to get off their fluffy white duff, and I want them to be just as outraged that Sammy the Vote Melito put in writing, that he would recuse himself from cases A, revolving around Vanguard.
Right.
B, Smith Barney, his personal broker.
Mm-hmm.
And anything even remotely resembling cases of his sister.
Right. And that was 1990.
That was 1990. That was in writing. Pen and ink, probably. Pen, maybe type, maybe word processor. I don't know. But the man put it in writing, and now we hear, oh, no. Hold it. I didn't mean ever. And gee willikers, just because I said it doesn't mean that later in some little odd case worth $250,000, $500,000, $2 million, you know, little things like that. I need to quibble about.
Yeah, it depends on what the meaning of won't is.
Depends on what the meaning of written statement with my signature on it means. Could we, like, take them to the wall on that, please?
I'm sorry. I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, okay, I give up. The talking head on the radio said it wasn't accurate, and he glared at me through my telephone. I need to get on my knees and beg forgiveness and offer ditto heads to some fat moron drug addict.
And for God's sake, stay the hell out of Dover, Pennsylvania, because Pat Robertson's called down the wrath of God on it.
What the heck did Dover do?
you know. I mean, the whole rejecting the intelligent design board members and Pat.
Oh, that's, yes, indeed. I'm sorry. You almost played Stump the Caller and won. Eight of those throwbacks to the Middle Ages, Cardinal Richelieu types, you know, the cat in their lap saying, I know what God meant because he wrote it in his own handwriting and I have a copy in the back room. Yeah, those guys. Speaking of religion,
yeah.
Pasadena, California.
Okay, I don't think I may not have caught this one.
This is good.
Oh, good.
Broke this afternoon in our market about 6 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Small church. Nice church, neighborhood church, and unfortunately I was driving home talking to myself how I'd adjust my budget after having my truck repaired, But I did remember Pasadena. I did remember a church that's been in place with a minister that's involved in this neighborhood, spoke probably twice about what he considered to be the biblical inappropriateness of killing civilians and fighting a war.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this Pasadena.
And lo and behold, the IRS swooped in and is now making every effort to investigate, harass, cost him money, keep him up at night.
Take away their tax-exempt status.
As a church, because by mentioning the war might not be the best thing based on biblical tenets.
Never said George Bush's name, not once.
No.
Never advocated the election of one political candidate over another, not once.
No. Never stood in a... can I say ass on the radio?
Yeah, this time.
Never stood in a great big old gnarly 5,000-seater built with donations in Louisville, Kentucky, and said, if you don't vote for Bill the Cat Killer Frist and all the rest of them, I'm sure God will absolutely turn his head and not let get you again on the Sunday of Truth or whatever that was. Guess what? I don't think those old boys in Louisville and wherever the heck else they had those political,
Nuremberg.
I don't think the IRS could find those guys with a search warrant. But they found that guy in Pasadena that said, I'm really not sure, based on my reading of the Bible, we ought to be in Iraq.
Well, all religions are equal, David, but some religions are more equal than others.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Speaking of the hissy of the day, caught this one breaking just before we went on the air. There is a full-bore hissy cooking in Florida, a right-wing hissy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's a school board down there that thinks it might be really cool to start teaching a foreign language to kids when they're in kindergarten.
Well, with the how big the earth has gotten and how easy it is to hide in America from every other culture, and how in 6 hours' time you can be anywhere almost in the world on an airplane, well, that makes sense.
The child mind is specifically hardwired for comprehending language. That's why, I don't know about when you learn to talk, but, you know, most of the people I know learn to talk at a pretty early age.
My parents always said it was too darn soon, but...
Right.
Yeah, But
right-wing hiss... We don't need to be teaching our good white American children none of that Hispanic language.
Boy, oh boy.
You know, never mind the fact that it primes a child's mind for learning things like math and science and computers and all the stuff that we want them to learn. But they don't need to be hablin' their computer in no Espanol.
Lump that in with any music study and art study, but especially music study, because, you know, all those repetitive patterns of music only makes it so much more easily done to take a kid, you know, to facilitate a child to be good in mathematics. Yeah, let's not lube that brain up so that it's really slick and fluid and can do anything at an early age. Kids exposed to language.
If they want to learn a foreign language, they can by Jiminy learn to read the King James Version of the Bible, and they can learn that kind of English, and that'll be a second language from the English what they're talking now.
Or they can go straight in the army and go over there and learn to say, hey, Haji, on your knees. Oh, yeah. That's
Don't you love them? Don't you just love them, David?
Ain't they the best? And don't forget, if anybody has an objection to all of this, in just a few short months, send me the vote. Melito will be there to knock your head clean off.
Oh. David, thanks so much. We got to roll, man.
See you, Bob.
Later. All right, quick break. More phone calls when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
is. I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 13 and a half minutes left in the program, and let's go straight to the phones. Ben's been waiting. Hey, Ben, you're head on. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm pretty. Hey, I'm real happy tonight.
That seems to be working good for one.
Well, you know, it did so well and until the last couple of nights.
Yeah, well, We have to, like, you know, do the reverse of the Navajo rain dance for you every time the show goes on.
Every time there's a cloud in the sky, apparently.
Yeah.
I can't wait till next spring.
God. Well, hopefully we'll have the bugs out of the wiring by then. You know, I missed the first hour and 70 minutes of the show, or hour and 40 minutes of the show, because I was watching Devil's Rejects. It's a Rob Zombie film.
Oh, fun.
More concentrated violence than I could ever actually describe on the radio without, you know, having the dump button pushed.
Right.
But, you know, it was about these people who were just horribly evil, and they had killed 74 human beings. You know what occurs to me?
What's that?
A guy in a Brooks Brothers suit at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And, you know, he kind of looks a little inbred like those guys did.
Yeah, but he makes Rob Zombie look like a piker.
Yeah, because he's killed hundreds of thousands of people and ordered torture.
Oh, yeah, we almost forgot about the torture.
And ordered kidnapping.
White phosphorus.
And chemical weapons, and ordered people to be mutilated in Gitmo. And
raped. You know, don't forget the rape.
Raped. Oh, yes, rape. And, you know, the only difference between him and the father in this film, in The Devil's Rejects, is Georgie Boy doesn't put any clown makeup on.
Ooh. Just ooh.
That's the only difference I can see.
Well, they're both inured in death.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy it. Or perhaps even worse, they're just indifferent to it.
Oh, I don't know. I've heard him called the giggling killer more than once.
Well, that's true.
He
earned that one with Carla Faye Tucker.
Oh, yeah. No, it just delights him in the soul of his being to know that another human being is about to die, or to know that a human being is about to die and it's not him.
Yeah. Well, you remind me of something. I got a great little joke from our buddy Rick down in Texas. You may have heard this. A driver's stuck in a huge traffic jam on the highway. Absolutely nothing's moving. Suddenly a man knocks on his car window. The driver rolls down his window and asks, "What happened up there? Why are we stopped?" Terrorists have kidnapped President Bush and are asking for a $10 million ransom. Otherwise, they're going to douse him with gasoline and set him on fire. We're going from car to car to take up a collection. The driver looks at him and says, "How much is everybody giving?" Guy goes, "About a gallon."
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that one to my dad, and he cackled like a hen.
You know, it's really sad that we are to the point where actually that's a very funny joke.
Well, yeah, that's you know, and then the other one out there about the about Cheney and Bush on the airplane, and George says, "You know, I got $1,000 here. I could throw out these $10 bills and make 10 Americans very happy." And Cheney looks at him and says, "Well, I've got $1,000 in $10 bills. And I could make 10 times as many people happy by throwing it out this airplane." And the pilot up in the cockpit says, "Jerks. I could throw them both out the airplane and make a million Americans very happy." Yeah, I was a little slow on the delivery on that one, but you get the to a certain extent, it's a sad commentary on the place that America has gotten to.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this is not America.
No, it's not. It's not the America. Well, my dad said it the other day, Ben. It's not the America he fought and was willing to die for. It's not the America that his brother did die for.
Nope.
That America was good and decent and looked after its own and cared for its own and tried its best to do the right thing. All that's just gone, Ben. It's just, damn it, it's gone.
It sure is.
Now, can we get it back? I don't know.
Maybe.
It's like the global warming argument. Some scientists say that it's too late to reverse some of this stuff.
Well, on that I'm not sure, because I think that if we really did have a Manhattan Project type commitment to really solving this problem, where we say, we're not going to spend another dime on war, we're going to spend every dime on fixing this planet, I think that somehow a couple of $1 trillion every 4 or 5 years, which is what we're spending now on war, would probably have a good technological solution to some of this problem.
It might.
Start condensing CO2 out of the atmosphere and pumping it into the empty oil well. It all came from there, put it back.
Sure. But, you know, look at, I don't know if you noticed what happened in the Senate today. Senator Byron Dorgan proposed an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill.
Yeah.
And all he wanted to do was set up a commission. And this commission would simply examine the way that money is spent in Iraq and look for waste, fraud, and abuse. It was defeated 53-44. Straight party line vote.
We're all going to hell.
Yeah, I just wish we weren't in quite such a daggum hurry.
Well, make room in the handbasket, my friend.
it's going to have to be a big one.
You take care now.
Ben, have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And, yeah, 53-44, straight party line vote. I think Senator Corzine didn't vote. One Republican didn't vote, and maybe Senator Inouye didn't vote. Straight party line vote on nothing more complex than just setting up Senate oversight of waste, fraud, and abuse with regard to your money, my money. Remember that?
It's taxes. It's your money.
But by God, when it comes to Iraq, we don't want anybody looking over their shoulder at what they're doing with our money. And it was patiently explained. They were calling this a Truman Commission. Because way back during the Second World War, before he was vice president, when he was just a senator from Missouri, in the midst of a war, in the midst of Midway and everything that came after it, and Normandy, Harry Truman stood up and said, "Look, we owe it to the people of the United States who are sacrificing for us to be able to fight and protect our freedom that we don't waste their money." In the middle of the Second World War, Harry Truman stood up and got support for just keeping an eye on the people's money as it was being used in the war effort. And he found, in what would be characterized in today's money, he found billions of dollars of waste. And they moved to correct it so that we could better fight and win the war. And yet today, in the Senate, a punk Republican like Jeff Sessions from Alabama stands up and says, "Well, we don't need no oversight." And oh my God, he was showing pictures of Iraqis rebuilding electric power towers. And he says, "Now see, them's Iraqis up there, and they're working to rebuild Iraq, and I'm telling you, my good brother fellow senators, they won't take a check. They gotta be paid in cash." If I'm lying, I'm dying. They won't take a check. Well, look, here's somebody else that America's credit's no damn good with. They won't take a check. So we got to send the money over in bucket loads and boat loads and truck loads and just nice, clean, crisp $100 bills. Because Iraqis won't take a check. And therefore, his argument was that... we couldn't... have oversight of Halliburton in Iraq. Now, recue that thing up. Let's do this right. Okay, the show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Announced by Brian Reznor. Ben Birch, who you just heard, handles all of our streaming issues, as well as the archiving at whiterosesociety.org. And by the way, just a quick add in there. Run by and check out Joe Vecchio's Cup of Joe show. You'll be glad you did. He's a wonderful fellow down in Atlanta, and I enjoy his work. And let's see, yeah. More than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.